Parshas Truma, you see something very unique in Parshas Truma. The second pasuk says, "V'yikhu li truma," and they shall take from me a truma. And Rashi says, "Li lishmi, lishma." Even though we see in the Gemara in Harias Yudam Beis that it says, "La'olam yasok adam b'toyru mitzvus afilu shalol lishma, shamitoch shalol lishma bal lishma," that a person should do Torah, mitzvahs, even if it's shalol lishma, because at least that will bring him to the lishma. As the Chinuch says, meisim, doing the chitzonios, will inspire him the panimios. And the mitzvah gereris mitzvah to higher levels of the way we're really supposed to do it, the ideal way. That's what it will bring. So that's why Hashem wants us to do, even if it's not totally lishma. But here, for the Mishkan, and by the way, we should say, there are certain shalol lishmas that's better not to be done, like the Gemara points out in Tosfos and Brachos. If it's to get at the other one, you could say along the lines of Mitzchabed B'Klein Chaveiroi, which the Gemara Yerushalmi says Chas V'Shalom Yim L'Chilek Olam Haba, you can get to that state. One wants to catch the other guy, build himself up at the expense of the other one. Terrible midah. That is better not to be done at all. Noich loy shalin nivra, the Lashon Gemara, also. But here, Hashem didn't even want the shalol lishma that other times Hashem says to do. He wanted a total lishma for the donations to the Mishkan, for his Ashraya Shechina in this world. And therefore, he says, V'yikhu li truma. Why doesn't say V'nasnu, you would think, to give? So we can say, because since we just said that he wanted a total lishma here, we might think that if the person, when he's told about this, if he doesn't immediately have that desire and thought to give lishma, that means he's also pasul. No. As long as he works on himself, and that's the v'yikhu, as the Kol Dodi points out, that we have to work on the Yetzer Hara many times in order to do a mitzvah. But Baruch Hashem, we win. Beautiful. And that's what Hashem is telling us here also. That even though you might not start out at this point, if you get to the point where you're giving it totally lishma, good. And it will be accepted. We also see that there's a point to ask, how was it known whether or not the person really gave it lishma? We might be able to say that if it was given, put into the hand of the receiver, the gaboyim, maybe there was an electric shock, and therefore he couldn't hold it. A simon, that's not lishma. Of course, Hashem could make it disappear too. And if it was given little lishma, there was no problem. But we can say, Pashtus, that it was taken, believed, Cheskas Kashrus, if the person is giving it. But then also we have to understand that there are different levels of Lishma. As we know, two tzaddikim do not necessarily do the same mitzvah at the same level. And therefore, it comes to mind a word that they say from Reb Chaim of Volozhin, that he learns when it says in Parshas Kisisa by Bezalel that he was able to lachshov machshavos. Reb Chaim Volozhin, and I would think that's probably from the plural form also, lachshov machshavos, all kinds of machshavos, and as we know, Chazal say, he had Ruach HaKodesh. You see that from the Psukim. And therefore, what the Pasuk is saying, there were people who gave, Baruch Hashem they gave, but the different levels of giving, and therefore, let's say the person who had the highest madriga of that lishma, that would go, for instance, to the Aram, the Kodesh Kadoshim. Like we know from the Gemara, the boards that were in Kodesh Kadoshim, once it was used for that, would not be put in the Kodesh. They were marked. The same thing in this respect, and therefore someone who had less of a madrig of lishma, then he would go to something less kedusha, and so forth. But once it was given, there was a nesina, didn't need the tikhu, as we said before. And as the Balaturim mentions, the root of Nesina is Nasan, and either way you spell it backwards and forwards, it's the same Nasan. To teach us that when one gives with a whole heart, he never loses. As the Gemara says, Aser Bishvir Shatus Asher. You want to get rich? Give Maisa the way you should. As the Rambam said by Hilchus Tzedakah, one can never lose by doing chesed, giving tzedakah. Then we have the famous drasha and pasuk ches, when it says, "Vasuli migdash v'shachanti b'salcham." Chayira, it should say b'salchol. What it's teaching us is that the highest level of a migdash is the human being. When Hashem can dwell in the midst of the human being himself, that is the highest Middash, because he is at the apex of creation. As the Mishnah says, Bishvil di nivra ha'olam. That tzaddik, or tzaddikis, when he reaches the point where Hashem will dwell in them, that is the highest ideal. And then the pasuk talks about afterwards the Aron, and it tells us that Tzipisa Osel Zahav Tahar, it shall be covered with gold, Mibayis Umichutz Tzapernu, from inside and outside it should be covered. And as we know, Rashi brings from Chazal that there were actually three boxes in order to coincide with the instructions of the pasuk. The inside, gold; outside, gold; and middle was Atzei Shittim, as the pasuk before said, Vasu Aron Atzei Shittim. So the Kol Dodi says beautifully, we can ask, wouldn't you think the Aron that housed the Luchos HaEdus from Hashem would be made of pure gold, no wood whatsoever? Why would Hashem tell us to fashion it in this way? And he explains, because what Hashem is showing is the greatest receptacle for the Torah is the human being. Living, breathing human being. And what can represent that in the Aron? Wood. A tree is the living, breathing thing, not inanimate like gold. The most beautiful svarim, the most beautiful set of shas, is not when 20 years later the person shows his svarim and says, aren't these beautiful? Just like when I got them. Achim Bey. The most beautiful set of shots is when there has been a rebinding because of the continued use over and over again. The pages are well worn. And that's what the Torah is showing us here. Then we can ask, according to this, why not make it all of wood without any gold? But again, the Rosh Hashiva Shvi'it explains that what it's teaching us here is what the human being has to strive for, to be that receptacle. Mibayis umichutz tetzapenu. Inside and outside, and that's why it says inside first. He has to be true to do exactly what Hashem wants, even in the privacy of his own home, when nobody's looking, when nobody's around. Not to be chas v'shalom ein teichai kabaro, a hypocrite, the big tzaddik outside in front of everyone, but in private, chas v'shalom, the opposite. And that's what the Torah is showing us. Mi bayis u'michutz tetzapen. Inside and outside, that human being should be fulfilling the will of Hashem to the greatest degree that Hashem wants. Go for the gold, as they say. And therefore, once he does that, the pasuk continues, Vasisa lo zer zahav sadiv. He's crowned with the crown of gold. He made it to the top. He deserves that Keser Torah. Three Kesarim, like the Mishneh Navos says. And Keser Torah is one of them. And he's crowned with that. In Pasuk Chai, it tells us about the Kruvim that were made on top of the Aron. Of course, all one block and fashioned from it. And Rashi describes from Chazal that the Kruvim was Kiravya, like a child, the face of a child. To teach us, as some learn, that one was a female, one was a male, that they're both equal. You can't have one without the other. To fulfill the destiny of a human being, there must be the zivug, and they share equally in the accomplishments of each other, because without the job of the woman, the man could not do what he does. Like Rachel, the wife of Rabbi Akiva, who after 24 years came with his 24,000 Talmidim back and told them all our Torah is due to her, because without her it could not have happened. That's the ideal, and vice versa also. In order for the woman to fulfill her mission in life, her husband should ideally accomplish his mission. And that's why in Olam HaEmes they share equally the greatest reward. And here you have one of the many examples to show the so-called women's lib movement, how according to the Torah they are equal. There is no prejudice. One can ask that we also find Kruvim in another place, like Gan Eden, when Adam HaRishon is expelled and Hashem sets up Kruvim at the entrance, and as Rashi says from Chazal, they are Malachi Chabala, angels of destruction. And here we see just the opposite. Children, highest purity, completely innocent. But I would say it's to teach us that's what we have to understand. The human being, the apex of creation, given the opportunity to become the greatest of Hashem's creations, the highest madrigas of righteousness, like the Kruvim by the Aram, completely pure in fulfilling what Hashem wants of them, and also Achman al-Islam having the Bechira to choose just the opposite, become Malachi Chabala. Then we have the menorah of pure gold, symbolizing the Torah Shabbal Peh, the oral Torah. Whereas the Aron, which housed the Luchos, symbolizes the Torah Shebichsav, the menorah is the Torah Shabbal Peh. And the Pasuk tells us that it should be mikshah, one solid piece, fashioned from one solid piece, beaten out. That symbolism is the beating out that the person toils and strives with all his might, heart and soul, to understand Hashem's Torah. It doesn't come on a silver platter or on a golden platter. And the seven lamps of the menorah, symbolizing the seven chachmos of the world, seven wisdoms, which actually all the knowledge can be put into these seven categories. Any true knowledge, math, or science. And actually the ancients, philosophers, they also split it up into seven. And that's to show that actually all wisdom that is valid has its source in the Torah, can be learned from the Torah to fulfill Hashem's will. All part of it. everything that has any validity is in the Torah. And Rosh Hashiva also mentions about Pardes, which symbolizes Pshat, Remez, Drush, Sod. We can say also from the menorah, the Gevieha, the cups, cup of wine, ideal drink, so to speak. And Yayin, wine in Hebrew, is equal to 70, Sod, which is also 70. As the Gemara says, Nichnas Yayin, Yatsu Sod. Wine goes in, secrets go out. So we can consider that the Nister, the secret Kabbalah parts of the Torah, and Pshat would be the Kaptoreha, the apple that was fashioned on the menorah, as far as Pshat, and part of what you could say is an apple, food, basic. And that's also what Pshat is, the basic explanation of the Torah. An apple is also round, symbolizing the world, because that's what the world stands on, the Torah. Without the Torah, it cannot exist. And the flowers, symbolizing Drush, and Mishukodim, embellishment design, symbolizing Remez. And after Chamishi, in Pasuk, Lamed Hei, it mentions where the Shulchan and Menorah was situated. And it says that the Shulchan was placed on the north side, and opposite it, and the Heichal, was placed the Menorah on the south side. Which is very interesting, as the Kol Dodi points out. It would seem to us that if we entered the Beis HaMikdash, the Menorah should be on our right, not on our left. But he says beautifully that that's the way when we come in. But from the other way, symbolizing Hashem, the Shechina coming forth from Kodesh Kadoshim, the menorah is on the right, to teach us that it's not our right which we should strive to understand and do, but Hashem's right. To make sure that our mind and what we see should be in the light of the Torah, Hashem's will. Not any distortion by our own mind. And as Rosh Hashiva points out, and we can say that's why the Torah did not say as Hamnora Umas Hashulchan, which usually you find opposite used in that sense, Zel Umas Zeh, but it uses the word Nochach, which is a gematria of 78, which is the same gematria as Lechem. To teach us, as the Mishnah says, Emein Kemach Ein Torah, Emein Torah Ein Kemach. And we can also say that the Shulchan, also symbolizing Chesed, the Lechem Aponim, facing each other, as Bnei Yisrael should face each other, think about each other, concern, showing concern for each other, which is a Toras Chesed. That's why it's called a Toras Chesed. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, And therefore, Gemilas Chasodim, Hagomel is also 78 to show this point. And the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is 57. The same gematria as Zon, to give nourishment, provide food. And this all shows that all three things which symbolizes the Mishneh Navos, Al Gimel Amudim, the world stands, Torah V'Avoda U'Gminas Chasodim, which actually Torah is comprised of Bein Adam HaMakom and Bein Adam HaChavero, which is symbolized by Avoda and Gemilas Chasodim. Avoda, the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, Avoda Satfila, Bein Adam HaMakom and Bein Adam HaChavero, the Gemilas Chasodim, which is symbolized by the Shulchan, as we explained. And of course, the Mizbeach is the Avoda, the Kabanos. Whereas Torah, the Menorah, to show the symbols of these Gimel Amudim that the Mishnah is mentioning. That all these three things is what provides the sustenance of the world. Without it, there is a loss of that. It tells us after Shishi that there was a netting placed around the Mizbeach, a demarcation line to divide the top and bottom halves. And Rosh Hashiva Tzatzal in Dorash Moshe explains that what this netting is to show us to learn the lessons of the Mizbeach. And truthfully, all life, all things in life. And that's that it's not the Maisim themselves, the Akrovas of the Kabanos themselves, that really do anything. It is what's learned from them, the thoughts that the person has when they are doing it, and above all, what they learn to how to better themselves when they're doing it. To take the lessons of the Kabanos, that's why it's a netting, to catch it. And also a netting to filter. You filter with a netting. And therefore, to filter and catch and learn that the Kabanos, one of the many things to be learned is the fact that when we look at the carbon, like the Ramban says, to think that Rahman Utslan, that's what we are deserving of if we don't listen to Hashem, if we don't follow what He wants us to do. And to learn that these things are not for Hashem. He doesn't need these things. It's for us to catch and filter out what we have to learn from it, that it's for us. And the Torah, the last pasuk in the Sedra, and the last Rashi, talks about the Yesedos, the pins. And Rashi says, it's ambiguous whether or not these pins were fastened to the ground or weighted down in order to be staying in the same place. And Rosh Hashiva Zatzal and Dorash Moshe again explains that we can say the reason why it's put in this ambiguous way is to learn the lessons of both of them. That we must be anchored and of course start in the yeshiva to learn from the Rebbe exactly firm foundation of the Torah. But we also must know and be ready that anywhere life takes us, always be anchored to the source, the Torah, but be able to go anywhere where Hashem wants us to, and still be strong and weighted down, never faltering against the winds of time, of foreign ideas, against the Torah, Chas v'Shalom, modern trends, if they are against the Torah. That's what it teaches us, to have these both ideas and putting it, using it the way Hashem wants us to. V'chein yehi ratzon, that we should always and continually do exactly what Hashem wants us to, with the greatest simcha and understanding. Kol Tov.